But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's great to have this opportunity to open God's word. The title is Stand Firm, and if any of you were here last week, Simon set us up really well to look at this passage of Scripture. Last week, we're thinking about the man of lawlessness, this very physical, real person who will one day arise and be very opposed to the gospel and to Christians. And it's quite a scary thought when we think of this man of sin one day to be revealed, encapsulating man's rebelling against God throughout the ages. And he will one day be revealed. And along with that is the fact that there are those who are perishing, who will be deluded by this the false teaching and will one day perish because they followed a delusion and a lie. And Simon was also saying how the second coming of Christ should shape our lives. The fact that one day he will come, and as we were looking at this morning, all his enemies will be put under his feet. He will one day conquer. And that thought should constantly be in our minds. I think in our lives we're often caught up, aren't we, with the small details. You know, with the small problems of our lives. You know, the problems in our families, problems at work, problems with the flooding or whatever it might be, and we're caught up with all the little things in our lives, and we lose sight of the big picture of this rebellion against God, which will eventually appear in a very personable way, in a single person, and this one day that when God will sweep in the person of Jesus Christ and conquer all his enemies. So that's the context in which we look at this passage tonight, and the title is Stand Firm. I just want to add two words to that title, just to kind of expand it. If you've got the new NIV here, you'll see it says Stand Firm, this is in verse 15, Stand Firm and Hold Fast. So just to add to that a little bit, Stand Firm and Hold Fast. That's basically it. That's the message tonight, the central to the passage that we're looking at. So I'll just put that down out of the way. So, stand firm. It's something that is really hard to do. But it's something that's all we need to do in our lives. Stand firm against false teaching, against the world. If you think back to World War II, and particularly the Battle of Britain, what was Britain called to do against the forces of Germany was to stand firm in the Battle of Britain, just to hold fast and not to allow Hitler's forces to invade. And that's something that we need to do. We're called to hold fast for the long term, aren't we? One of the things that's very really encouraging to Ruth and myself as we've come back and joined the church here is looking back, we got married here 30 years ago. I'd get that right. And some of you were here then. Amazingly, I'll You know who you were, are. And what's really encouraging is that you see people who were there then, 30 years ago, and they're still standing firm and holding fast. Pam and Brian in our community group, Simon, who was preaching last week, and Steve, who preached so well 2 weeks ago, Stephen Muriel, did our wedding reception. And it's just, you know, I could mention quite a number of you who were also around 30 years ago. It's just really encouraging when you see a Christian who stood firm through all the buffeting, all the trouble, all the pressing problems in their lives. They're still coming along, they're still firm in the truth, they're still moving forward in their Christian lives. And standing firm is not a passive thing, is it? Imagine someone trying to get in through your front door, a burglar or something, or an armed gunman, to make it a bit more exciting, and you're trying to stop him coming in, so you're pushing against the door to try and stop him coming in. You're standing firm. And it's that kind of thought, I think, that Paul gives us here. Someone has said we have to push back at the culture as hard as it pushes at us. The culture we live in says all there is this, naturalism. All there is what you can see and feel and touch, and that's all there is. And that's constantly battering us, pushing at us. And we have to push back at the culture. We can't just freewheel, as it were. So stand firm. That's what it's all about tonight. We're going to look at some encouragements from this passage about that. Somebody said to me when I was on holiday a couple of years ago, they said, the Christian life is a bit like the penguins in Madagascar. You just keep smiling and waving. That's what they said. And it's true in a way. We need to keep going in our lives. We just keep smiling and waving. But if we're to do that, if we're to keep going, we need encouragements, don't we? We need something behind the scenes that's keeping us going. So as we look at this passage tonight, the way I've split it up is just to think about that. Think about some encouragements to keep standing firm. Wherever you are in your Christian life tonight, whatever troubles you're facing, whether hardships you might be having to stand up to this week, stand firm. Some encouragements. But just before we look at three of those from this passage, what are we standing firm in? Well, just read verse 15. Stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, by word of mouth or by letter. Because it was in the apostolic time, there were apostles who gave inspired teaching by word of mouth. And then they wrote it down in the Bible, which we have today. So they didn't need anything new. They didn't need a new teaching. In fact, it was these new teachings that were coming along which were false teaching. They had to stand firm in what they'd been taught and what they knew. The sort of things we were considering this morning in the resurrection of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15. The basic things of the Christian faith were called to stand firm in. So there are three things from this passage. Following on from last week, this man of sin, this judgment coming on those who rebel. There's a but here, the very first verse word in our passage. But, and here we contrast, here are true Christians. This is how we are to react to the situation. So firstly, the first motivation from this passage is to stand firm because there's something worth standing for. Because of what's at stake, think of last week. Simon was talking about the perishing. Those around us, those that we might see as we go home tonight, they're perishing. That's a terrible thought to think of. You know, our neighbours, our friends, those who don't know Christ are perishing. And it's interesting that in calling us to stand firm, Paul begins by telling us all the things that God has done for us. For example, God chose us from the beginning. And that word chose is not a normal word used for election. It means taken for himself. if we adopted a pet or a child or something like that, we would take them into our family as our own. And that's the thought there that Paul brings through about God, who chose us to be saved through the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives day by day that is bringing us more to be like Christ through belief in the truth. So we put our faith in the truth rather than the delusion that we were thinking about last week. You know, some people hold out for causes that really aren't worth holding out for. Football teams that really aren't worth supporting, or cricket teams. Political parties, winning some TV competition or whatever it might be. People sort of go for things that really aren't worth standing for. But there are such issues at stake here. Life and death. Hope and hopelessness. Lostness and being part of God's family. It's worth standing for. It's also worth standing for because of the glory worth having. He called you to, this is verse 14, he called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory is something, I think all human beings seek after glory. There's the glory in scoring a goal in football, or baking a perfect cake in Bake Off, or a wonderful laminated biscuit that breaks, snaps when you break it, or whatever it might be. There's glory in all sorts of things, but the glory fades. If you think of glory as like the wow factor, I'm thinking those who've gone off to America, they might look at something like the Grand Canyon, and they go, wow. And that's what glory is all about, wow, really. But all the things in this world fade, don't they? We sang earlier about the glory that fades. When we bought our house back in May, the garden was just beginning to flourish and all the plants were growing, but now they're all dying off. The glory fades. Those of you who've come back from holiday with a wonderful suntan, it'll fade, given a few months. The glory fades. But the glory in the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory we sang about just a few moments ago, doesn't fade. It's a glory which we share in this life, and a glory that goes on in the life to come. This is something worth standing for, isn't it? It's not something superficial. It's not something passing. It's something worth standing for. The second reason is because there is an enemy out there who must be opposed. Just verses 2 and 3 of chapter 3. Paul says, when you think this is the great Apostle Paul, and think of all his authority and power, he says, pray for us. Pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people. For not everyone has faith. Perhaps the Thessalonians, these young Christians, they just become Christians. They think, well, everyone will become Christian, surely, you know. But Paul has to remind, not everyone has faith. There are wicked and evil people. And then he says, the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one, Satan himself. When I was about 9 years old, I was walking along the road, along Beechwood Road, near where we lived, and I bought a lolly at the shop, a nice lolly. And I was walking along, and this girl sort of stopped me. She was coming the other direction. She must have been about 16 or something like that. And she wouldn't let me pass until I gave her the lolly. It was quite scary for a 9-year-old boy. It was really scary. And Graham was too young to protect me. He was only a little boy. So I had to give her the lolly, and I got past. But, you know, I can remember her face, and it was quite scary. And the point of that illustration is simply to say the evil is personal. It's not some sort of vague evil as we walk down the road, sort of evil. It's very personal. There are people who oppose us as Christians, and there is an evil one, a Satan, who would undermine us. And I don't know about you, but sometimes you can actually sense a palpable sense of Satan opposing us in something, in some way or another, or in something that the church is trying to do. You can almost sense, Satan tends to hide behind things, but you can almost sense that that's there. There is an enemy who must be opposed. Now think of that door, I was talking about pushing against the culture. We're actually standing against a satanic force. We're standing against evil forces. That's why we have to stand firm. There was this false teaching that was coming into the church, and it was all a satanic thing. It was something which was there to undermine the truth. Third thing is, stand firm, hold fast, because we are not alone in the struggle. Verse 16. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Apparently this was Cookfield's verse of the year, not this year, but last year. It's a prayer, and Paul is praying for these young believers. And he's praying that they would know this encouragement. And I just want to sort of, as I sort of close off on this point tonight, is just focus on one word. And it's the word comfort, which isn't in the passage, but it is in, if you look in, if you've got the ESV or the AV or other passages, you'll see instead of encouragement, it has the word comfort. Because the word literally means come alongside. It comes from, I think it's paraclesis. And if you think of the paraclete in John's Gospel about the Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside. So this is idea of one who comes alongside. If you Google the word comfort, and you can see I've done my preparation tonight and all that. If you Google the word comfort, you get pictures of fabric conditioner and very comfortable beds. So that's what comfort's all about. When Ruth did her degree a few years ago, and she, for her final thesis, she wrote 10,000 words on comfort. Was it 10,000 words? It's a lot of words. Just on that subject. And really, Ruth's job, when you think of Ruth's job as a nurse, as a palliative nurse, is to get alongside people and to give them comfort. Sometimes just having someone there to talk to and to share with brings you comfort. We all want comfort, don't we? We need comfort in our lives. And that can be a wonderful thing to have. And this passage talks about eternal comfort, something that goes on and on. One of the commentaries said it excludes interruption and lays stress on permanence and unchangeableness. There is a comfort in the gospel. You know, when we're called to stand firm, it's not some kind of stoical, you know, stiff upper lip. You know, we've got to just stand there. The Holy Spirit is with us. God is with us. And we're to pray for each other when we see each other in difficulties and troubles, that the Holy Spirit will come alongside. And that's through the Holy Spirit that the Lord Jesus himself and God our Father is revealed. And he would encourage us and comfort our hearts. I don't know what you're facing in your life at the moment. What sort of troubles you may be facing. Family problems. Struggles with work. Struggles with health. Loss. One kind or another. We're called to stand firm in the situations that God calls us to be, but that can be really hard, can't it? And we need God's grace, the one who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement. So this is just as we close off, you know, if we're thinking, well, how can I stand firm? How can I hold fast? We're not called to do it alone. We're called to do it together in community, as we pray for each other. And we're promised that we will receive that comfort as we go along in our lives. Well, we're called to stand firm, to hold fast. That's our calling. That's what we're all called to do in whatever situations we face this week. And the motivation to do that is because it's something that's worth standing for. It's something worth fighting for because of the issues at stake and because of the glory that we have in Christ. And we need to stand firm because there is an enemy that opposes us. We can't simply freewheel in the Christian life as though we don't need to fight. And we don't need to do it alone. We have one another to encourage each other, and we have God's grace to us. God's love, the love of God. To know God's love and to experience that can give us the strength to stand fast. Just one quote from C.S. Lewis. When pain is to be borne, a little courage helps more than much knowledge. A little human sympathy more than much courage. And the least tincture of the love of God more than all.